When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Are we ready for a Casey Mittelstadt anytime goal? Oh, Matt Smith.
Here, Matt Smith in the
back. That's a no from Matt Smith.
well, I think, yeah, it's worth, I mean, like, what are the numbers?
A point.
Over a point.
He's saying a point.
So he'll find the score sheet, not necessarily
okay.
a goal.
All right, I like that. I like that. Okay. All right. Well, turn your mic on so everyone can hear you,
man. I said a point. Well, I'm trying to get myself settled in here.
Right. I know, but like,
I couldn't help myself.
We want everyone to hear, so we don't like to keep our info in house. We want the world.
What, are we doing radio
know.
Or something?
Yes.
Like that?
Yeah, okay. Radio. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. No, I'd go Casey Mittelstadt point if I were going to go anything, but gosh. Well, let's just see how it looks tonight. I mean, this is still all very new, and they got to work all these guys in. And based upon the way it went the other night against Minnesota, pretty slow. Well, what was that ooh about?
+330.
For what?
Plus a Mittelstadt?
Yeah.
A little Tuxky? A Tuxky. No, that's a goal.
A goal, yeah.
A point is +120, I think.
Okay.
Which to me, that was better value. He's playing with Val, too, so we'll see what happens. I mean, Lekkonen was dinged up a little bit, missed some practice, but I imagine he'll be good to go tonight. And they're going to have to figure out how to put the pieces together without Logan O'Connor. Really? Sounds weird to say, like, hey, you're going to have to figure out how to replace that guy.
Dude, he's good.
Super valuable. He's super valuable.
I love how you look
at me with that little smirk on your face. So. He is a really important playoff player. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly when one of your guys, one of your dudes is not going to be available, it's not ideal. But, you know, just as long as we got our dudes rolling, and Val. I think Val's at the top of that list. Get him back into form, which we saw him, you know. It's like, all right, just stay with us.
Yeah, he's got to get his legs under him again. Yeah,
yeah. Stay with us here, you know, like in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
And just let's not wonder.
Literally, stay with us.
Yeah. Yes, let's not wander around, right? We're going to have you under 24/7 security. Someone's going to be watching you because we need him. Mm. And if you don't have Val, you don't have a chance. But hopefully everything's good there. Because he is. He's such a big part of that team. And we saw it against Minnesota.
I know you weren't exactly sold on the trade deadline moves, and you've only got to see a game with it. Do you see anything enough to go, hey, that might work.
Yeah, there were some good things for sure. It's going to take about 10 games for me. I love Phil's in here wearing the Avs hat today.
I do love it.
Big game tonight in Calgary. I thought Mittelstadt did some good things defensively. And here's the two boxes you have to check if you're going to play with the Avs. Number one, can you skate?
Uh-huh.
Ryan Johansson, there was a big old X through that first box, which is why it didn't work out here. And Philly just waved him once they traded for him. They're like, nah.
I got to give you credit, though, but you were all over that from day one.
Day one.
By the way, BTW, you really were. You didn't jump on that, you know, halfway through or late. You've been all over the Ryan Johansson thing, and you were spot on.
Well, thanks.
They had to just pretty much, you know, just take him. Here's a draft pick also. So
they had to pay to get rid of him.
Now, the new addition.
Was he a cancer to the team, or was he just not doing well on the ice? So everybody was like, you know what, you're not doing well on the ice. That's why we brought you here. And it kind of started to kind of get there some turmoil with the whole team because you're not pulling your weight.
I think that's a great question. And Adrian Dater actually reported that the last 2 weeks before he got dealt, there was some fissures in the locker room that started to pop up. But it wasn't because he was a bad guy. It's just because on the ice, it was not working. The guy couldn't skate. And I imagine McKinnon, who's, you know,
that's
got
exactly
a short fuse, was just at the end of his rope with it. Where are you headed? You got a fun day headed?
fun day?
I got to get to the golf course. last time for a little bit. Okay, my day actually ends at 2 o'clock, so I'm giving y'all two extra minutes here.
I appreciate that.
I played that
really
day
generous.
And I played so bad, so I got some redeeming to do.
We'll go hit him straight.
Thank you so much.
Go hit him straight.
Have a good show.
It's always an honor when we can get Stoke to stay long because, you know, at the end of the day, he's doing us a favor.
Mm-hmm, that is true.
But look at
you. You got it figured out.
Look at you.
I heard
a lot.
He's carrying your water.
Don't mess with Stoke when it comes to golf.
Real quick.
I hope it rains.
If Peyton has any questions about me, just FaceTime.
Mm-hmm. Cool?
All right, cool.
Tell Peyton
that's what's happening here. Now, I'm picking up what you're putting down here. Look, I like some of the moves that the Avs made. And to Phil's point, the question that he just asked, were there some tension in the locker room? There was some tension in the locker room. Something had to be done. They made the move. I'm rooting for it. I hope it works out. I've got my questions on it, certainly, and you know, we'll see how it progresses. Give me 10 games before I can really give you that answer, because I don't think it's fair to judge a guy, because think about what these guys are having to do, and there's four of them coming into the room.
Yeah.
You got to jump in near the end of the season. It's not like it's mid-year.
Yeah.
It's the end of the season with a team that has just won a cup 2 years ago that has such a high standard, especially performance-wise, you know, because you got to play a different style of hockey with the Avalanche.
Yeah.
I mean, it is full speed, downhill, train is not stopping. And for a lot of guys, they're coming from systems that just don't operate that way and don't have that kind of world-class talent. So you've got to step up and jump in and be able to, you know, skate. That's why I remember when Josh Manson got traded. Yep. Took him a couple of weeks to get up to speed.
Well, especially a defenseman. Somebody's playing on the back end of it, too.
100%.
The defenseman will jump up in the play, and you have to be able to realize what's happening, cover the spot that somebody just left, play that spot until the recovery time. Like, there's so many different variables. But I was – sorry, Phil.
I was going to say
about MacKinnon. And you said a story yesterday about Judy, the first time you met Jerry Judy. And you said – like you kind of said, like, man, I didn't think this guy had it.
Yeah.
I think that's like the MacKinnon thing, too, of like, this is what we do here. That guy doesn't do that.
Right.
So therefore, he doesn't fit in.
Well, that's why I was screaming from the mountaintops when they made the trade. Mm-hmm. I was like, this isn't a fit. This you're the Ferrari, and here you're bringing in this like 98 Pinto with 180 gallons.
They've asked MacKinnon, like, you know, was it like a couple days ago? Where did he have any say in some of the trades or, you know, whatever went down? And he kind of nonchalantly said, you know, if they ask me, you know, I'll put my 2 cents in pretty much, which means he probably did go up there and say, this was not a good fit. Or guess what? I would like to play with someone like Casey. I think that he could fit the mold, or he can help us out later on down the line.
Agreed.
It all does come down to like your superstars, and you always ask your superstars, you know, hey, will this be a fit? Because you don't want to mess up that chemistry, but also you want to find ways to get better. And I don't know if you think they got better. I think that they got better.
Yeah, they did.
You know, have they significantly got better? I don't know, but Val is back, and I think right there helps them out a lot.
To another point to that story, I know this for a fact. The Nuggets wanted to trade Bones Highland last year. Right?
Oh, yeah.
They obviously wanted to make a move.
Yeah.
But there were still some conversations being had of whether or not it was worth the move. Nikola Jokic went upstairs. So this guy is hurting more than he's helping. And guess what happened 12 hours later? He was
on the
Clippers.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah. And I think alone on the surface, we're just talking about Johansson, addition by subtraction. So you're absolutely right. The well-run organizations, those well-run organizations will go to players and consult them on deals. Sometimes you don't see it happen, and that raises a red flag going, okay, is there a disconnect between coaching and front office and ownership? But it's a great point you bring up. And it did seem to me like Nathan MacKinnon sitting in his locker after the 2-1 overtime win against Minnesota last Friday was relieved. Mm-hmm. It seemed like there was a sense of relief to him that I haven't seen this year, and he flat out said it. You know, they asked him, what was the roster like before and after the deadline? He said, sometimes I just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
And if Nate's going to say that, that's about as strong of an indication as you're going to possibly get.
Yeah. Every time that those men stepped on that ice, it was like, what are we going to get? We know when they're at home, Ball Arena, they're gonna ball out, ice out, whatever you want to call it.
They'll be poking.
But away, it was always up in the air. It's like, what's going to happen? You kind of get tight. You're hoping that someone like Nathan MacKinnon can carry the load at times. And that's what kind of irritated me at times was – it seemed like everybody was always waiting for someone like Nathan MacKinnon to come up big for him, to be that Superman. And that cannot be the case when you're dealing with trying to go for another cup.
Spot on, Phil. I mean, they were a one-man wrecking crew. He's the only one that generates offense. Mm. And that's why I'm a little skeptical just about the fit with Mittelstadt. He's a younger player, but that second line center, he's got to be a rock star, man. Yeah. And you want to go through the past cup champions and look at their top two centers.
I know.
You've had two rock stars. Mm-hmm. And you need a guy who can drive and generate. Now, the thing I really do like about mental stat. He does have great hands, and his best asset is his passing ability. So hopefully playing with Val, he can start to feed Val a little bit. And Bednar even called out Jonathan Drouin the other night. He was like, well, you know, Drouin needs to start shooting a little bit more. You know, the times he does want to shoot, because he had that goal. It was his first in, what, like 19 games?
Yeah,
crazy. And he's like, yeah, if he wants to shoot. So hopefully that unlocks a little bit more of it. Because, look, if the Avs are going to make a deep run, you've got to be able to send lines in waves. Constant pressure. That's when they're at their best. I did, before Josh gets out of here, I wanted to know what you made of the first 2 days of the early legal tampering period. Early tampering. Agency, whatever the hell it is in the NFL.
Well, on the Broncos front, it was very boring. Kind of expected, right? They told us every time they had an opportunity, they told us they were going to be quiet on this.
They're not lying to us.
The Will Lutz thing was fun, right? Because it's a kicker using leverage. I'm like, shout out to the kickers using
leverage.
And
Sean paid him more, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he had to.
That was drama, man. That was drama.
He had to take
care of that. What was it, 2 years, 8.4 for Lutz?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Okay.
He flipped, too. He flipped on a dime at the last second.
Well, hey, man, you're a kicker. If you want more money, that's pretty simple to me, right?
I will say I'm a bit surprised that the moves outside of the kicker and bringing back a fullback, I think, is absolutely stupid. But the fact...
Really? You're down on Michael Burton?
Yeah, whoa, now.
I thought he was great this year. I really did.
Oh, you did?
I mean, what is he going to cost? Nothing.
Great at what?
I think he's a good blocker.
He is a great blocker.
100-yard
I think there... And hey, look, he brings up a valid point.
He is a great blocker, but he's a phenomenal special teams player. And right now... For someone like Sean is going to need
down
to rely
on the fullback
on special teams.
The
you can't
breed.
My boy was Andy Janovich.
Yeah.
He's one of the biggest reasons why I was able to get my 1,000-yard years. He did the dirty right. I'm telling you.
Imagine if they just had 22 Janos, it would be completely different.
Believe me, y'all. He did a lot of the dirty work that the offensive line would miss a block. Jano was there to pick it up, whether it was a defensive tackle, whether it was a linebacker.
Down
he was always
Burton.
There.
I'm down
so
on
you
fullback.
You can't be disrespectful fullback. To the fullback.
I think it's the biggest waste of a roster spot in the entire football world.
All right,
world.
Well,
Get him out of here.
I regret even asking you for your opinion.
You know why you got 1,000 yards?
Theories.
Is because you're good at football.
Yeah,
that's why you got 1,000.
Without Andy Janovich,
there's 11 dudes out there. There's 11 guys. He wasn't playing 1-on-11.
Exactly. No. This ain't basketball.
All right. So you're down on Michael Burton for some ungodly reason because you just you're anti fullback.
You just don't like the fullback.
No, he's anti fullback.
Wow.
Anti fullback.
Shame on you, Josh.
What year is this? 2024. Fullback. Who needs a fullback?
Thank you,
Matt. I get where he's coming from. I don't agree with him, but I get
the
short-sighted point of view that he's coming from.
The 49ers still use one. Oh, the Denver Broncos still use one.
We talked last week when I was in for Stoke about Sam Darnold, and you said no about Sam Darnold. Well, the Broncos are still sitting here, and let me check the time. It's 2:09 on March 12th, and the quarterback that Kliss came on last week and told us that they'd have in the building by Friday. Well, he's still not in the building yet.
Yeah.
Thoughts on how they've handled the quarterback position with this free agency period?
Well, they've missed, obviously, on the target of Darnold, but I do like what Kliss said today of once it got into the 10 million range, they were out of the conversation. That's too much.
Did you guys have Mike on today?
No, he shared that.
Oh,
on
he
social.
Shared that. Okay.
About, hey, they were out on 10 million. And look, I think there's a play here that they're never going to say. I've heard you guys talk about it, Phil. In 2024, again, this is what they can't say. The Broncos aren't in the business of woeing out and winning every game.
Mm.
It's not in the cards for them. They don't have to say that. They're doing it by not getting a quarterback, by the options being what they are now. The trade market is Sam Howell, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields. Not getting Justin Fields. And then the free agent market.
I like me some Justin Fields, man.
We're going to talk about that today. Don't you worry about it.
It's just as slim. So I think it's a little bit of disappointment. But at the same time, where I sit with what the Broncos are going to be in 2024, it's what they should be doing. I'm all for team rebuild.
Get
rid of fullbacks and rebuild this football team.
Yeah.
Those are my two stances.
Yeah. Get rid of fullbacks.
All right.
What did they do to
you? You're 1-for-2. You made it up on the other side. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye for the next couple of days. On the other side, Phil and I break down what was, it didn't look like it was going to be, and it ended up being a nice night for the Denver Nuggets. That's next. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye for the next couple of days alongside Phil. Filthy. KJ, good to see you again. It's been a minute, my buddy. How are things?
Yes, sir, man. I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hanging in there, you know.
There you go.
Just got a lot going on. Phil, by the way, for those of you who don't know, I've known Phil for, over a decade now.
Yeah.
What was your freshman year, 13?
Oh, yeah. It was 2013.
I remember doing an interview, this kid, freshman, coming in, Denver skinny. South, skinny, and just an unbridled ball of fire. Okay, just energy just oozing out of him.
You're flattering me. I remember
thinking to myself, they're going to have a hard time keeping this kid off the field if he's got this kind of fire. And sure enough, because it was, I mean, you're coming off of what? Multiple ACLs?
Yeah, blew my knee out, the whole entire knee, not just the ACL, but the meniscus. It was a mess.
But, I mean, it wasn't like you were a lock to play when you first got to school.
Oh, no. I honestly.
You were recruited by a previous coach.
I was with John Embry and Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah,
of course.
That's
one of the biggest reasons why I went was because of Eric Bieniemy. And they actually got fired the day they came to my house. The day they came in for an in-house visit, they were on their way back to Boulder, and they didn't even know they got fired at that time. That's when Bone was the AD.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, no, I have good memories from all the way back then. But then you were a part of the culture that turned it around. I mean, the first group, right, you weren't a part of that 27 seniors in 2016, right? You were the next, you had one more year after that.
Yeah, so I came in with them, I redshirted.
Yeah, that's right, that's
right. And a lot of them decided they didn't want to join me.
That's right.
And so they were shipped off after their senior year.
Well, let's be honest, the first few years you guys needed anybody who could play.
I agree with that stage.
Well, I'm glad to be in here with you. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait for the next couple of days. I do want to start off. We have NFL news flying fast and furious. Interesting development in the Justin Fields situation we're going to get to here coming up in a little bit. But I want to start last night. The Denver Nuggets 125-119 over the Toronto Raptors. They get the win. It did not look like that.
No.
It did not look like that for the first half. This was a team that, for the large part, lifeless, I thought. They didn't come out with a great sense of urgency last night, and they kind of sleptwalked through the first half up until the point where I'm sure Michael Malone lit them up at halftime. And then the team that came out, out of the locker room second half, they were okay. It wasn't until Jamal Murray kind of got tagged and fouled that they started to play well. They played for like 14 hard minutes and stormed back down 17 at halftime to beat the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this game, it is sometimes hard to get up for a game that you're supposed to dominate in. Yeah. But the great teams do. The championship teams do. And I know that the Denver Nuggets have a switch that they have turned on multiple times, and they did again in this game. But Malone was already upset from last game, right? Mm. Malone was already upset with how they played, how they got up big against Utah. Then they let them come back in the game, and then they had to find a way to blow them out again. But in this case, they just flat out just didn't want to play at the beginning. And now I will say Jokic said, you know what?
Everybody except for Nikola.
I'm always going to bring my A game, which that's why you can appreciate what someone like Jokic brings to the table. But people like MPJ, Jamal Murray at times, it's like, come on, y'all. Like, the mentality has to always be there. The mentality has to be the same. We want to be the number one seed, and we want to win another championship.
So I think there's a lot to unpack there. I think that's interesting, right? Michael Malone talks about, hey, look, it's not really our mission to be the number one seed.
Sure,
he said
sure.
it multiple times. And I actually believe him because I think it means that you're prioritizing health over actually being the number one seed.
Yeah.
Now, if it happens to be the case that everybody's dialed in and you're playing playoff basketball towards the end of the regular season, you're probably going to end up with the one seed anyway, especially now that Karl Anthony Towns is down in Minnesota.
Yes.
We have to remember, okay, Denver's, I think, got the 23rd, 24th toughest remaining strength of schedule in the NBA, but three of those matchups down the stretch are against Minnesota.
Against the Timberwolves, man.
I think Minnesota's going to start to slide a little bit, and I think you're going to see a two-horse race here with OKC and Denver for the number one seed.
So then why would you not want to go for that number one seed? I know that, understanding that the Timberwolves are down a man, that's a big time man that kind of changes things.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, Malone's actions speak differently than what he's saying, right?
I was just about
to
go there.
From the minutes that all his players, his star players, are playing, from some of the injuries, such as, why did you play Jamal Murray on a back to back when he was dealing with shin splints and stuff like that? He ends up getting an injury that wasn't significant, but it could have been. Because you truly do want that number one seed. That's what I'm looking at.
I think you're 100% on the money there. However, I think with Malone, it really is more about building playoff habits. And I think that's why it got him so upset against Utah, the 44-24 third quarter. You know, they got outscored by 20 in a third quarter. If you do that in the playoffs, 9 out of 10 times you're losing that game.
Sure.
And he's just guarding against that. And I think maybe he's seen a little something in his team where, like you said, they've been known to want to flip the switch. And as a coach, if you've got a team that wants to flip a switch, sometimes that can make you want to pull your hair out. Now, for him, he's probably not going to have to pull much more hair out. But I'll just say that I could imagine he's frustrated by it occasionally. It's like, come on, guys. And I think this is why he was so upset with the Utah game. Because they were up 39 at one point in the second quarter. And then going into half, they're up like 25-ish, if memory serves correctly. Well, if you come out over the next 10 minutes of the third quarter and, you know, continue to blow out Utah and assert yourself, then Jokic gets to sit the final 1.5 quarters.
For sure.
But then he put Jokic back in, even though they were up like 15. And I said, okay, that was my only gripe with that game was, hey, man, if you've got a chance here down the stretch to buy Joker and Jamal some rest, you probably ought to take it. Now he only played for a couple minutes. But you see the risk there because he got his hand hit on the rebound. Yeah. He was kind of shaking the hand. It's just you got to be really careful. But you brought up something about, you know, their attitude, their approach, and the number one seed. And you can't have those lapses in your play. That's essentially what you were just saying.
Sure.
Well, this is a repeat year. You know, coming off a very long season last year, short off season. We know that pretty much every guy in the lineup has been dealing with something, you know, dings and bruises here. And I imagine they're pretty tired. I just think that balancing that coming down the stretch is maybe a little bit different than last year. But it doesn't mean I'm talking about, hey, let's sit out Jokic and Murray for the next four games. But no, if you've got a chance to buy him a few minutes here or there, you probably ought to take that opportunity. And as a result, maybe you find those extra minutes for Zeke Nnaji and he shows you something, or Peyton Watson. But look, either way, they came back down 17 at half.
Yeah.
You know what and I'm talking about last night. You know what the record was for the Nuggets when they were down 17 at halftime? In their franchise history.
They probably haven't been too good.
2-51 before last night. Well, so it was a rarity that they came back last night. And you brought up Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Look, interesting couple of days for him. What have you made of the last few days for Jamal?
I was going to ask you the same thing. You know what? Zach and I were on the show yesterday, and Zach didn't think it was as big of a deal as I did. For me, it's mainly about respect, right? Everybody has held Jamal Murray to, like, this high level of, like, this is what you're supposed to act like. Mm. And when you go into there, right, after a meeting, you didn't have to take that interview if you didn't want to. Now, if you're having an issue or you're trying to watch the UFC, your best friends fighting.
Yeah, could have turned it down. I'm not talking tonight.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
But you decide to take it on, go in there, get interviewed. Mm-hmm. You don't show people eye contact. You don't give them the respect. And they respect you. They think highly of you. A lot of these writers, the radio people, like, they're talking highly about you. They're trying to hype you up. But then you show that you're not interested in doing it. Mm. That's my issue, right? Just show a little bit of respect. Would Kobe do that?
No. And I imagine that it probably bothered you pretty heavily because that's something that you wouldn't do in 1,000 years.
Yeah. Now, is it a big thing, Matt? Like, is it something that's going to hurt on the court? No, it's not. But it's the little things that people remember, man.
Sure.
Little things that people go back and say, man, that dude is good, or feels good, or, you know what, Matt's a good dude, man. He gave me that time.
Oh, they don't say that much.
Hey, you know.
They don't say that much.
I heard a lot about you, man.
Okay,
too good. That's why I got to hype you up.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, well, I'll be watching UFC fights on my phone, the Reggie Show. Look, I think it's interesting that you bring it up because I did think it was disrespectful, right? I thought that it was a little gauche. It was unprofessional. But I'm not raking the guy over the coals about it. He just came out there and dropped 37. Now, would I ever do it? No, I wouldn't ever do it. If it were somebody other than Jamal Murray, would I have a bigger issue with it? Probably.
Mm.
Okay. But he came back out, and I thought in the presser last night, he was much more respectful. He gave thoughtful answers.
You think they talked to him about it, though?
Somebody probably did. Mm. But at the end, he did call somebody out in the media by name who he didn't like what they said. So we'll see if there's anything that comes from that. I'll just say, look, I mean, Jamal, really bad first half last night, only had 5 points, bounced back, and played great in the second half with 21. If that was the Jamal in the second half that we saw more consistently, I think it would be a different story with the narrative around him. But look, I'll take whatever we can get right now in the regular season. And in the playoffs, I think we all expect that guy to show up, right?
Jamal's going to show up, man.
Yeah.
Jamal is going to show up. But also, just off the court, you know, the way people think about you, it means a lot. It means a lot probably to him as he goes on along in his career, of just saying that I always showed people the utmost respect of what I do. And I held people to the highest standard just like they hold me to it. And I'm a professional. I'm going to be a pro's pro and do things the right way.
just the second time in NBA history that a pair of teammates have had 25 points and 12 assists in the same game.
Ooh-wee.
And ironically enough, it was just a few days ago with Dame and Giannis. Hasn't happened in NBA history, and then twice in the last week. Go figure.
Hey, man, Jokic is the man.
On the other side, NFL free agency rolls on, and the Saints West reboot continues here in Denver. We'll share details on the other side. Let's do it. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye alongside Phil Lindsay. Join in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Curious to get everybody's takes about where the Broncos are at right now. I don't know about you, Phil, but I'm a big believe none of what you hear and half of what you see guy. And you just brought it up a little bit earlier, so I imagine that you are as well. But the Broncos are telling us with their actions what they're doing here. They're rebuilding this franchise right now.
They're not lying to us. They said they were not going to be aggressive in the first wave of free agency.
Right.
And they weren't. You know, they went and got Brandon Jones.
Yeah, you'll have plenty of time to learn his name. Don't even worry about it.
He was my teammate back in Miami.
Okay, well, then maybe you should know.
I should. You know, shame on me. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we got Will Lutz back.
Baby.
Got our fullback back, which Josh does not like for some reason.
Josh is all down on the fullback for no apparent reason whatsoever.
Down and out, man. I don't know what's going on. Fullbacks must have bullied him back in the day.
I think that might have been it. Maybe his high school team. He had a fullback, and that was a school bully. We'll have to ask him tomorrow. But the Broncos did make some moves today. They re-signed Michael Burton, their fullback, for 1 year, which I happen to love, no matter what Josh says. I think it's a good move, depth piece. Well, it's a starter, really, and it's involved in Sean Payton's offense a lot. And as you mentioned, great with special teams.
I like it.
So I think that's a great re-addition. There weren't a ton of internal free agents that I was looking at them to sign. Burton was a guy on my list I wanted back here. And he's a Sean guy, too.
Yeah, he is. Sean
loves his guys.
Exactly. You see what he went out and did.
I do. He went out and he signed another former New Orleans Saint, defensive tackle Malcolm Roach, 2 years, $8 million. He was a four-year backup and played two of those for Sean Payton. However, in early November last season, PFF had him graded as the highest graded run-stopping interior defensive lineman. So, look, I mean, They need to bolster their run defense.
Yes, we do need that. That's one of the areas that we struggled in last year. I'm already tired of seeing Sean go back and pick up Saints.
Saints West.
You know, it's like we're trying to rebuild something new. And I understand you got to go get familiar faces that understand what you're looking for so that when you bring in these young players that you have somebody to look up to and understand the standard is going to be the standard and the culture is going to be built a certain way. So I understand where Sean's coming at, you know, with it and at it, especially if you can get him for cheap.
It seems to me like he's really leaning more into the culture build part of it.
Yeah.
Because I think part of getting rid of Justin Simmons, that's a big team leader.
Yep.
Right? You know, I think part of what they've done here is taking a year to take stock of what's in the building and said, all right, well, we love this guy, but unfortunately we're not paying a safety $15 million and we got to become cap compliant. So Justin, we'll see ya.
Yeah.
You know, look at all the other safeties that are still available around the league that are very good football players. Justin, apparently though, speaking on Justin Simmons while we have a second, apparently Eagles, which makes a lot of sense.
I like it.
Deal isn't done yet, but apparently they're targeting him, which if you think about it, makes a lot of sense because they just hired the former defensive backs coach here in Broncos country, Christian Parker. So I'm sure he vouched for him and that Eagles defense needs some help.
Yeah. They need some help. Justin deserves to be on a winning team at this point. He's not getting any younger.
Right.
Okay, and I think that the Eagles have stacked up. I mean, they got Saquon Barkley over there, which I'm thinking is going to be really scary over there in that offense with that offensive line. Jalen Hurts doing his thing with the receivers that they have. Justin Simmons has a really good chance of making that playoff push and maybe a Super Bowl, which I think that's what's going to help him be done and say, you know what, I've done everything. I have all the money. I have all the accolades. I get to a playoff game, which he has never done.
I'd like to just start with playoffs before we talk about Super Bowl. Let's just try to
get to a playoff.
Yeah, winning team would be good. He's only been on one of those and really wasn't even a starter at that stage. So the Malcolm Roach pickup, I think, is interesting because it sounds like the Broncos are moving on from Mike Purcell.
Mm.
Wyoming, local guy, right, Colorado kid. Sounds like the Mike Purcell era in Denver is over, if you will, and Malcolm Roach will take his spot. Now, I think that interior defensive line position is interesting because the Broncos presumably get back Uwazurike this year, right?
Yeah.
You know, Gambling Joe down there. they get him back, and they also have Matt Henningsen, right? Zach Allen just restructured his contract. And we're going to actually speak to Andrew Mason here coming up at 2:45 because I'm not sure if everybody out there realizes this, but the Broncos have the ninth most cap space in the NFL right now.
Ain't that crazy? They came from having none to
being 25 over, now to having over like 30 million, I'm pretty sure.
Which is crazy because it's like, okay, what are you guys going to do with this money? Because I know you're not going to go out there and splurge on a free agency guy at this point. There's not a lot of big names out there. Also, you want to keep some money aside just in case you need something else. So that's going to be interesting to see who they go after. All right, do they go after anybody that's a big name that's still out there? Are they still trying to get some of their in-house players back? Josie Jewell would be one. I don't think you go for Josie, but what do I know?
I think if they were going to sign Josie, they probably would have had him back in the building already. I think they're trying to move on from Josie Jewell. They drafted Drew Sanders. Yeah. I know he finished the year outside. Maybe we see him back inside. But people kind of discount the fact that they re-signed Jonas Griffith. Before Jonas Griffith got hurt this year, he figured to play a lot.
Jonas is a hard-working man. I work out with him every day, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. The dude has a body of a bodybuilder. I'll tell you that right now. Some and he's worked really, really hard, man. So hopefully he can stay healthy. He does bring something to the table. He is cheap, but also he has a lot to prove, a lot to go on. His mentality is going to be different, which that's what you kind of need at this time when you're rebuilding a team.
So that's what they've done today, because they renegotiated with Zach Allen and Ben Powers to clear more cap space, which I think is interesting because it kind of pushes the buck a little bit. But maybe they're thinking about doing something with that cap space, or maybe they're just trying to clean up their books a little bit. Again, we'll talk to Andrew Mason here coming up in a few minutes. But they have not signed a quarterback. And clearly here in Broncos country, all eyes have been on the quarterback position, Phil.
Yeah, man. At this time, man, I think that a lot of the quarterbacks signed away. And what's interesting is I wonder if Denver took swings at a couple of these quarterbacks and they just were not getting any bites, any nibbles. And someone like, I thought Jameis Winston would have been here just because he's another fit for Sean Payton. But Jameis is going to the Browns.
Yeah.
Who else is out there that you
thought? Well, Sam Darnold signed with the Vikings, and he picked the Vikings over the Broncos.
Which is interesting because it's like we're having a bid and a battle, and Sam Darnold's having an option between the Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos, and he didn't even play last year.
Money talks.
My man's going to get $10 million.
Money talks.
Crazy. I'm going to be a quarterback.
I really don't think the Broncos had any interest in paying Darnold like 10. I mean, look at what they did with Stidham last year, right? I mean, they signed him to that 5-year per contract. We're all going, that's a lot of money for a backup quarterback.
It is.
And we all thought that maybe Sean had some ideas about him here moving forward in the future. But now if you look at it, well, you know, Gardner Minshew, 25 over 2 years, 15 guaranteed to the Raiders. They weren't going to pay Gardner that much.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, like I said, 10. Jacoby Brissett, I think, got 8. I think Winston got 6, and Drew Locke went to the New York Giants for $5
million. He did.
For $5 million, which good for Drew, by the way.
For sure.
I think he's going to have a chance to start because all reports out of New York are that they do not like Daniel Jones, which instant buyer's remorse. Like, what?
That's crazy,
why would you
man.
Do that and sign under that contract?
What's crazy is we have a situation, and of course, Russell Wilson's on a bigger scale. But you don't hear people talking about the Daniel Jones situation as much as they probably should. They just paid that man. He gets hurt. And now they're wanting to get rid of him before the contract truly even starts either. So it's one of those things where it's like, man, what are people doing nowadays? They're just paying people just to pay them, and they don't even have to play.
Quarterback desperate. Man. That's what they're doing. They're not a lot of these good, at least the good ones. Yep. Not a lot of them. All right, on the other side, we're going to talk to our senior Broncos writer, Andrew Mason from DenverSports.com, because the Broncos made a couple of moves, and I'm curious. Mace is our cap guru, so we'll get his insight next. I want to get to a quick one on the text line before we get to Andrew Mason. We're going to talk to Andrew Mason here. How about this one from Neil? Newsflash. The Broncos are a bad franchise from top to bottom. Bad roster, cap, draft pick, no quarterback. It's not surprising players aren't coming here. Neil, you've got it all wrong. You've got it all wrong. Well, maybe not all of it. Maybe not all of it. But it's not like they're actually trying to pursue a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
It's not like a bunch of teams are turning them down. In fact, we just talked about Sam Darnold going to Minnesota last night. Well, all reports out of Dove Valley are that they haven't made any offers on any of these quarterbacks, which I think
you believe that, or are they just trying to show face or save themselves because...
Yeah, no, it's a good question.
You know?
I thought about the same thing. And again, it's Matt Smith in for Zach Bye today. I don't know if they went to Darnold, offered him something, and Minnesota came in with more, and they're like, no, that's fine. Because there was a report that they had an offer into Darnold, but they have since told us today that that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
I think that that was probably the only guy that they were actually maybe to the point of an offer on. I think they probably monitored the rest of the market. But I think you got to look at it this way, right? Is it that much of an upgrade if you go get a Sam Darnold or a Tannehill over what you already have in the building with Jarrett Stidham?
See, Matt.
Because you're going to pay, because you're already paying Stidham six.
You are.
You're going to pay another guy like 10?
That's what I...
Well, like, I mean, if he's here, he's going to get it all.
Well, yeah.
I don't think there's any incentive laid. In fact, let's get back to that.
I want to know about that.
On the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, our senior Broncos writer, Andrew Mason, joins us. How are you doing today, Mace?
I'm fine, fellas. How are you?
We're great. I wanted to get you on today specifically because I've got some questions about this Broncos cap. The Broncos renegotiated with Ben Powers and with Zach Allen, and in doing so, they've created the ninth most cap space in the NFL, Mace. Do you think they're doing that to clear the books to sign somebody here, or are they just trying to clean things up?
I think they'll add some players, but look, if you're kind of looking at the accounting of what they're trying to do here, if they take the larger of the 2 years of cap hits for Russell Wilson, if they take that this year, that's $53 million, right? So it'd be 53 this year, 32 next year. To do that, they have to create $17.6 million of space. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what are we talking about? Depending on whether you consult SpotTrack or over the cap, you're talking about, what, $40 to $43 million of space created?
Yeah.
Well, if you are adding another $17.6 million to the cap figure for this year that Russell Wilson's already going to have, $35.4 million, then you've eaten a pretty good chunk of that $40 to $43 million of space right there. Mm. And then you've also got probably a rookie pool that will end up around $13 million. So between if you take a bigger hit on Russell Wilson this year, between that plus the rookie pool, you've already consumed about 70% of that space. Oh, it goes quick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, Phil? Because, yeah. I mean, this is the Russell Wilson situation that we've been talking about. Yeah, they are. They're trying to get some breathing room. So far, Mace, it appears that they're not going to bring in a free agent quarterback, at least not one of the ones that went in the first wave. Maybe they go after Tannehill. Maybe when Jimmy G gets released tomorrow, which is the recent reports, maybe they go that route. In my eyes, though, if I'm reading the tea leaves here, it feels like we're barreling towards them taking a quarterback at some point in this draft. Right, Mace?
I don't think there's any doubt they'll do that. And I think they'll take a quarterback even if they add somebody here in the coming days and weeks. I don't think that landscape appreciably changes in terms of drafting a quarterback if you bring in a Tannehill or a Garoppolo or if you trade for Sam Howell. One of the reasons why you are looking at this market of quarterbacks is you're basically trying to have a very sturdy bridge to make sure that you don't have to rush a young quarterback in before he's ready to go out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think you look at somebody, let's say they get J.J. McCarthy, for example. Let's say they trade up, get J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy might really need a year to be ready to go. And if Jarrett Stidham is the only veteran option you have in there, how long is that going to last, right? I mean, does he play well enough to justify holding on to the job more than a few weeks? Part of what you're trying to do is have a good enough situation at quarterback to where there isn't that urge to kind of hit the panic button and force a rookie out there before he's ready to go. Now, if that rookie comes in and blows your mind like C.J. Stroud, that guy would come in and play quite a bit, right? But you want to make sure that you're covered in case that circumstance doesn't happen.
So, Mace, we all know that they're probably going to draft a quarterback, but because they have not got a quarterback right now from free agency, does this kind of seem like they're going to try to move up in the draft to get the quarterback that they really want?
The appearances would seem to be that way, but I don't think that circumstance would look much different if they managed to get Sam Darnold. I mean, I think part of it also with Sam Darnold is You're looking at the price point, right? I mean, yeah. Darnold ends up going for $10 million. I would argue that if you could get Sam Howell for a fifth-round pick and he counts $985,000 on your cap, I would argue that's probably a better use of resources if you could pull it off. Yeah, you'd sacrifice the fifth-round pick, but you'd be saving $9 million of space. And like as we're seeing right now, for the short term, the Broncos are having to kind of play a little bit of money ball here in terms of how they're going about this in terms of to navigate the big hole in their salary cap right now. That's why, I mean, you look at the safety position.
Right.
Justin Simmons, you save $14.5 million, and effectively you get your starting safety combination, Brandon Jones and P.J. Locke, for about about two-thirds of that, a little over two-thirds of that cost. These are the kinds of decisions you're making right now.
Hey, Mace, we really appreciate your time today, buddy. I know you got to skedaddle and join Cease there on Orange and Blue today on DenverSports.com, so we'll let you go, okay?
All right, thanks, fellas.
All right, that is Andrew Mason, our senior Broncos writer at DenverSports.com. Some really interesting takeaways there, and that's exactly why I wanted to get him on today, because he understands this. I mean, to me, it's like, you know, speaking Chinese. I'll get it once you tell me, but just figuring it out on my own. I mean, math was never my strong suit. I don't know about you, but math was just, you know.
Nah,
I mean, that's why we're working here, okay? That's why we work here.
I can count
here.
The money, though.
Yeah, well,
the
there you go.
Money comes rolling in. I'll do math. Like a mug.
Yeah, that's right. You make a good point here, because when it comes to different things out there, things that you like you know, if I'm out there and you know, I pull up the old apps on the phone, you know, I'm looking at tonight's action. I'm pretty good at math there, so I guess it just depends. Maybe if that's how it had been taught to me in school, I would have actually been an A student. Who knows? But I love what he said there, because this is where the Russell Wilson situation comes into play. Is you've got to have the cap space. And just because they have the cap space doesn't mean they're going to do anything with it. It just means that's the cap space they're going to have to eat because of Russell Wilson.
That's crazy. So they're saving money to give to a quarterback that's not going to be on their roster, that they're going to have to save up for this year and next year. Okay. On top of that, Russ is going to a situation where he's in a winning organization, and they've done some pretty solid moves themselves. Getting Patrick Queen, okay, the linebacker that was with the Ravens, now he's with the Steelers, got a punter that actually was my teammate, that's actually a really, really good punter, and Russell Wilson for cheap while the Denver Broncos pay the bill. Wow, man. Wow, wow, wow.
Would you rather pay him to play for you?
You know what? If you've been listening, I'm more of a Russ guy. Yeah.
Are you a Rusty?
I am a Rusty, man.
Man, oh, we're going to have a good time today. Now, you and KJ. You see what you notice? Have you explained your Russ love to Phil yet?
Okay.
He understands. He understands.
Are you still riding with Team 3 like you were?
I am. I mean, I'm a Steelers fan.
You're a Steelers fan.
I'm a Steelers fan.
Always have been.
You got
my whole life since yesterday. All right. Well, that's good stuff. We'll dive into all this Broncos as the day unfolds, and we've got our eyes on the wire here, because there are moves happening right now. As we mentioned earlier, some former Broncos quarterbacks off the board. We'll share some details And I heard some news about another former Broncos quarterback who is available that they may be looking at. All of that and more next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.